We've been talking about an example, how our Lord's an example, and we're talking about how we should follow His example. We've been talking about our walk. We're down here to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading here at verse 1. So again, we're going to talk about our walk. Look what it says here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. Oh, I tell you, I run across the people that say that I'm saved and I can live it any which way I want to. And I'm like, where do you get that from? You didn't get it from this book. Amen. God wants us to live for Him. I know we have that sin nature, and that sin nature battles us. There's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit that's there. But God wants us to make that effort, and we were talking about that a little bit last week. It says, "Know you not that as so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death." He's talking about when you got saved. He's not talking about water baptism. "Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also Even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Right? So we can see baptism is a picture of what Jesus did for us, the death, burial, and resurrection. And we could see that baptism is by immersion, right? And people that sprinkle and stuff, that's not Bible. Matter of fact, the word itself, it talks about immersion. But anyway, what is it saying? He's talking about our walk, right? To walk, that newness, right? Allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, to be in the Spirit, right? It says that for verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Do you ever think about this? The penalty of sin has been paid for. It's wonderful. I remember the day that I got saved, and I was a very religious man. Very religious man. You would have thought I was a saved person, but I wasn't. You know, you can change the outside, but you can't change the inside. There is something that's missing that only Jesus can fill. And I remember in my life, I would do like all these things I would try to do. And by the reality, I was just miserable. And that day that I got saved, that song that we sing, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Oh, I remember that day that I got saved. It was like the burdens were lifted off of my shoulder. It's a wonderful thing when you think about that you're saved. Amen. The penalty of sin has been paid in full. I've been set free. I have liberty in Christ, amen? But it's not just the penalty, but you think about the power. We can live for God now. In the past, you know, you may have tried to do something in reformation. Reformation just makes you more miserable. But you can live for God. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God in as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Amen? Folks, you think about that. Now that you have been saved, you and I have been saved. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit comes and enters into us. But you think about the penalty of sin's been paid for, the power. I mean, you and I can live for God. And He's telling us here, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now, a lot of times when you guys are driving, You maybe get on to 81, you're going down the road, you get on to 81, and you're going up that ramp that's there to get on. And as you're going up, you do know that's like a yield sign, right? You know, that you're supposed to go up, and if there's traffic that's there, most of us don't do that. What do? We just, you know, you try to go a little bit faster. It's like, beep, get over there, whatever, right? Yield. Well, the reality is this. He's telling us here not to yield to sin. Now, the Bible also tells us not to make provisions for sin. Amen? Don't make provisions for it. Right? Just, I was using the example before I got saved. I used to use smokeless tobacco, and I told myself I was going to quit using smokeless tobacco, but I would go to the store and buy a can. Just in case, Mark, I got the urge. You know what I was doing? I was making a provision. And I never stopped, right? Even before I got saved, I picked up the Bible. I started to read the Bible, and something in the Bible, I can't even remember to today, scared me so much. I don't know what it was, and I was like, oh, that I took the can and opened it up and dumped it in the trash. But I didn't allow the pow of skull stay there. You know what I did? I took it in the trash can, put it down. You know why? Because if it would have stayed on top, I would have had a provision for later. I was making sure. Here it is. He tells us, don't yield, right? Yield. So if we're going to walk, the reality is this. We need to stay in the Spirit. Amen? Don't stay in the flesh. You know how many things you regret in the Spirit? You know how many things you regret when you're in the Spirit?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's the things you regret are all in the flesh. Amen? So what we need to do is yield. Amen? Yield to Him. Amen? Realize what you have. Look at the Bible says over here to Ephesians. I could have probably stayed there for a week. Amen. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look down here, verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, when you see this walk, what is he speaking of? Is he talking about your position in Christ? Is he saying that salvation is a process, that you have to earn your salvation or keep your salvation? Is that what he's referring to here? Praise the Lord that you got that. Amen. No, we have eternal life, right? He's talking about our practice, our day-to-day living, right? I have eternal life, but I'm still in this body of sin, and what I need to do is to live for the Lord. And here it is, he's telling us, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. People of, you know, you think about lost people, and unfortunately sometimes Christians, live for this world. Do you ever think about this world? One day everything will be burned up. I'm not talking about that crazy global warming, climate change, whatever they change to. And they talk about that. Sometimes they think they got me when I'm talking to them. And I'll say, yeah, you know, this world one day is going to burn up. Ha, you're like us. I said, no, based on what the Bible, I said, this world will still be here at least, 1,007 years and a little season from today if the rapture happens. Amen. It's not that crazy stuff that they're out there trying to tell you. But this world one day, God's going to, all of it will be destroyed. Every single thing that's in this world, right? Isn't it weird how sometimes people use so much effort over things that you can't take with you? You can't take it to heaven. You know, the influence that you can have, though, is on people. On people. You can influence your brother or sister. You can influence others that are in the world. You can influence people to go to heaven, right? We can't save them. The Holy Spirit has to convict them. They have to accept the Lord as their Savior. But you can influence people. But you know your walk, your life. Yes, we should tell them, but we should show them. Allow them to see something different in your life. And think and say, Why is that? Amen? We're not doing it to be pat on the back. I don't ever do that, right? I'm not doing it for the... I want to please the Lord. Amen? And here it is. He's telling us not to walk like the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They don't understand. We're living in a world that's getting farther and farther away from God. Well, my grandparents, after I got saved and I started talking to my grandparents, some of the things my grandparents would tell me was like, they couldn't believe were happening. And that was in the early 2000s. If they would still be here, they'd probably have a heart attack knowing some of the crazy stuff that's going on today, you know? Whether having kids, they're telling boys they can be girls and girls they can be boys. I mean, that is just crazy, you know? Do you know at one time, I think it was the American Medical Association wrote in their book, their journal, about homosexuality, that it was a mental illness. But they don't say that anymore. Why? Because there's people that got on the board, right? Folks, can I tell you, it'll never be right. Folks, can I tell you, why is that? Because the Bible says it's wrong, it's sin, it's abomination. It doesn't matter if there's world change. It doesn't matter if our state changes things. Right now, there's a bill that's sitting on the desk of their governor. Pray that she doesn't sign it. You know what it is? Suicide. It's trying to give people a right to kill themselves. Can I tell you, think about how far away we have left God. And they look at you and me like we're crazy when we'd say, hey, that is suicide. What are you doing? Or you tell someone, that's abomination. They look at us like we're crazy. Amen? But the reality is this, their mind is darkened. They're blinded from the devil. And the reality is, you think about it as a Christian, they should see something different. I'm not talking about going out and beating people over the head. Amen? Sometimes I like to beat people over the head with my Bible, amen. But don't do that, amen. But they wonder why. Why? Well, because God says it's wrong. It doesn't matter your opinion, doesn't matter my opinion. What matters is what God says. And the reality is our walk should be based on what the Word of God says. It goes on, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Again, it's surrendering. It's allowing the Lord to work through us. I'm still fascinated. One of the things that just fascinates me is people that believe in evolution. It's just like, what is wrong with you? You know? And sometimes I'll joke around with them and say, so you're saying your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was an ape? Is that what you're saying? That's what you really believe, you know? And it's crazy sometimes what people believe, you know? And they're really serious about it, amen? Can I tell you, you think about the foolishness of people, amen? And when you tell them, what are you talking about? It can't be, you know? There is no proof of that. There's no evidence of that. Do you know they have found almost... From what I have read, over a billion fossils. Over a billion. Do you know what one? They haven't found one fossil that shows the in-between. Not a single one. Matter of fact, do you know what they'll find? They'll find fossils of horses, other things, that's already completed. But they won't find one that's the ape man or whatever that's there. Why? Because God made them. Amen? It's amazing what some of the things that they have found. They have found tree. They found like a whole tree. Well, it was kind of, you could tell it was in the flood or whatever that's there. But they found a tree that's there and they can't explain it. Well, that was just, we'll just pretend like that never happened. or they found, I forget what it was, a horse or a cow that was like this, right? And they had all the sediment going up. And what they would say is, at the beginning was like millions of years ago, you know, and this is millions of years ago, they would go up. Well, how could a horse stay like this, or a cow stay that way, for millions and millions and millions of years? Well, just don't think about it. Folks, can I tell you, it's the foolishness. Don't go down that path, amen? You think about it, foolishness. But they look at us and they think there's something wrong with us. Why? Because we believe this book. I don't have to be back at the beginning of time to realize that God created this world. I mean, the heavens declare, right? You can look around, you can see there has to be a creator. God created it. But you can go down to the $1.25 tree, I guess what they should call it now, but the Dollar Tree, and the reality is, I don't know if they still sell Bibles down there, and buy a Bible, you will have to get, at least, unless you have really good eyes, I'm not going to see it, amen. My eyes will be like, whoa. Get a magnifying glass, and you get a magnifying glass, and you read that Bible, in the beginning, God created. That settles it, amen. I don't need all this other evidence, even though there is so much evidence out there that proves it. Why? Because God said it. And if God said it, then what we need to do is look at His Word and believing. I mean, you don't doubt God created the world, then why is it we shouldn't doubt other things in His Word? Amen? God said it. Believe Him. Amen? But our walk should be according to His Word. Look at what the Bible says over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you think about it, our life would be different, right? A separate life. A separate life. Different from the world. Look here what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look here starting at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that you be not, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Always remember, we are in a spiritual battle. Your walk, my walk, is a spiritual walk. It is very hard to do. You know why? Because my flesh does not like this being surrendered to the Lord. My flesh loves sin. And if I just allow my flesh to go, who knows where my flesh, thank God I'm saved, amen. But what I'm saying is I have to realize that. And not only do I have a flesh in that battle, you think about the demons and the devil that's out there, there is a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. So the only way you're going to be able to walk is, yes, you make an effort, but you have to pray and ask God to help us. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it on your own. I have tried to do some stuff on my own, and I'm telling you, I have failed. I remember when I was working at one company, I was building a database. And, you know, some things I could do, and I was getting into it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And I was building something, and for the next 3 hours, I couldn't figure it out. I wasted 3 hours. There's a point I'm trying to say. And it was after 3 hours that a thought came to me and said, well, why don't you pray? And I was thinking, you big dummy, you know? And I prayed, and the answer just came. Folks, can I tell you, there's sometimes in our life we struggle, and we're struggling, and struggling, and struggling. Have we prayed and asked the Lord to help us? Do you see that verse, verse 5, casting down imagination, right? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you ever start reading your Bible and next thing you know, your mind starts wondering? You know? Here it is. You're starting to read and next thing you know, there's a thought of, I got to rake the leaves. Or there's a thought of, what am I going to have for dinner tomorrow? There's a thought of, whatever, right? All these things that are... Can I tell you, sometimes it's the hardest thing, right? Our mind. He talks about here, not only... He's not talking just of that, but what he's talking about is all the thoughts. Everything that we think on, we should make sure it's good, right? We should make sure that when these thoughts come in, they're good. If they're not good, then get rid of them. Amen? Say, Lord, help me. Amen? And that's what he's saying. The reality is this. It is so difficult to walk in this wicked, wicked world. You go to the store. I haven't listened to that junk music in so long since I was saved. But I go to the store. I'll start walking in Price Chopper. And as I'm going to Price Chopper to get some peasant bread. Amen. I like peasant bread. Other than we got some Italian bread today. Amen. Peasant bread looked like flat bread or something. I think someone sat on the peasant bread. I don't know. But anyway, what was my point? Oh, you start walking in Price Chopper. And next thing you know, they have some music that's playing or Walmart music that's playing. I have found myself, independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist preacher who loves God, loves godly music. I have found myself, sometimes my mind heard the music that's there, even not intentionally thinking about it. My brain has started singing the songs, those songs that are there, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? Because I'm not paying attention. I'm just, it's like, what is it? You say, whoa! Amen? I don't know how you... Amen? So, well, what I'm saying is, we have to make sure. Think about that. Amen? Start singing songs. Amen? Start singing Victory in Jesus, Nothing But the Blood, Amazing Grace, Near to the Heart of God. Just put other songs that are there. Amen? But he's telling us this, right? I'm telling you, I haven't listened to some very... that stuff in a long time, but I guarantee you that if someone gave like the beat of it, my brain could probably quote some verses to it. Don't do it. Amen. Please don't do that to me. Amen. For the next 30 minutes, I'll be singing Victory in Jesus or Near to the Cross of God. But what he's telling us is here, think about it. If you're going to walk, then we need to be cautious of everything. In the Old Testament, you'll see that the Israelites, there was different things that God told them why. They were supposed to be separate. They were supposed to be aware of everything. And we need to make sure we're aware of everything. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, again talking about our walk. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, I'll start reading at verse 8. We're all familiar with this, hopefully you are. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We know grace is the opposite of works. It's faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, verse 10. After we're saved, it says, For he is our workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship. Do you know what workmanship is? Anybody know what the definition of that is? Anybody want to guess what that definition is? Anyone want to guess? What's that? Craft. Anything else anyone want to say? What's that? What's the definition of workmanship? Something made, right? Product. The art or skill of a workman. The execution or a manner of making anything, right? So workmanship, right? It's the So if you think about it, this here, right? This thing that's here, someone made it, right? Maybe a machine that was there, but someone made it, right? You take anything. Have you ever made anything like this right here? This is made out of paint sticks? Paint sticks, right? I always looked at paint sticks and I thought it was something that would, you know, you could use it, spank a little kid or with or something like that, or you know. What's that?
Not that bad
of a child. We'll keep on moving on, folks, from that one, amen. So, but here's someone's workmanship, right? Workmanship. So if you think about it, when we get saved, God is working in us to make us more like Him. And because God is working in us to make us more like Him, can I tell you there's sometimes God allows things into our life that we may have to go through, trials we go through. You know, patience. You want patience? You'll get it through trials.
Amen to that.
You know, I've people say, I pray for patience. And I say, you know what's coming? Trials are coming. Amen? I said, patience come through trials, right? But you think about it, He's working in us. He's working in all of us. You know, sometimes in our life we think, yes, you know, things are going good, and what happens? A trial comes in and we realize, Lord, how much I need You. Sometimes we'll get on our knees and just pray and maybe weep. And we cry out and say, Lord, I just need help. He's our workmanship. He's working in us. I'm not the person I was when I got saved 20-some years ago. God's working in me. That should be us. We should allow the Lord to work. One of the greatest blessings, God has given me many blessings, but one of the blessings God allowed in my life was headaches. Almost like migraine headaches. When I was in Bible college, I started to get headaches. I think I started to get it off and on. But when I was in Bible college, can't remember the exact years, around 2002, 2003, I had a headache that did not leave for 3 years. I wasn't married, Chris. It's okay. You know, it wasn't, you know. But anyway, for 3 years I had a headache over 1,000 days. Probably 1,100 days, I didn't count the days. Do you know that was one of the blessings that I got? Wasn't at the time, but I was a stubborn Baptist. It took me a while. You know why? Because sometimes I could be prideful. I was a new Christian. I could be prideful. You know, there could be things in my life where I thought I could handle it. How many here get headaches? Like really bad. Do you ever get bad migraines? Anyone get really bad migraines? You get migraines so bad, my wife could tell you, Walmart is one of the worst places to go when you get a headache. The lighting, right? I used to get headaches so bad. Remember Debbie? Debbie would put her arm on my shoulder and I'd be like, oh, please don't do it, right? It would hurt. You know what I learned through that headache? Brother, I had to rely on God. That was a blessing to me. It was a wonderful, not at the time that I went through it, but I start to learn that, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And every day and throughout the day, I'd sit there and say, God, I need help. Lord, I need help. What a blessing. Now, I wouldn't have said that at the beginning, but God, the workmanship was working in me. Folks, can I tell you, in their walk, when you're going through something in your life, realize God is working something. We have a Bible promise in Romans 8:28 that God promised to use for good. You can rest assured, whatever you're going through as a believer, God's going to use it for good. Headaches. Trials, health problems, whatever you're facing, I have counseled people, and sometimes I have counseled people, and people will go through a trial. And you know what I have seen? There's times where people get a trial in their life and they run from it. And then it seems like the trial goes away, and then it always comes back. It may not be an exact trial, but it's a similar trial. God's helping them. There's something that God... Remember the Bible talks about Joseph in the book of Genesis? That Joseph was a faithful vow, even a faithful vow that I think it said that climbed over the wall. A lot of times we see walls and what happened? Whoa! I am done with this. I want to run, right? Sometimes you get a wall and what is it? It can smash us, right? Makes us want to quit. And the Bible talks about Joseph. He climbed up, amen, and over. While the Bible, I think, says they shot arrows at him. God helped Joseph and prepared him for what? He was second in command. God used him to save his family. When his brothers broke down after his dad died, it was like, hey, your dad said, you know. He said, you meant it evil and God meant it for good. Here he's going through trials in prison. And when he goes before Pharaoh, he said, and Pharaoh, I'm paraphrasing, so apologize because I can't remember the exact words. Pharaoh's like, hey, I heard you interpret dreams. He's like, no, God can. I mean, that man wasn't bitter. I mean, he was lied about. He was put into slavery. His brothers hate him. And he comes out and we look at Joseph like, whoa! But don't forget the trials that God had him to go through. Folks, what I'm saying is this. He is our work. We are His workmanship. He's working in us. Allow God to work in you. Stop fighting what God's trying to do. And just say, Lord, help me. Amen? And you can walk. Do you know, the Bible talks about as the days of Noah. Do you know who Noah is? Noah, right? He talks about that in the last days, right? No one knows when our Lord's coming. And but you know, in Genesis chapter 6, it says that Noah walked with God. Noah didn't. And if the last days, he says the days will be similar to those days. And it says the Bible, in those days they were filled with violence and the imagination of man's heart was wicked all the time. Isn't that what we're seeing in our world today? Someone went to Minnesota, just shot one senator and her husband, killed them, went to another place and shot two people. I think one was a senator, one was probably the spouse. And he had a list. He was going to... I mean, we live in a world that's filled with violence. Imagination, the wickedness. You get on the newspaper and what is it? You see this, all these perverted people. You see these people that are luring kids in and just sick. He walked with God. You know what that means? You and I can too. Amen? But you don't try it on your own. Amen? You have to realize I need God. I like it where it says, and Enoch walked with God. After he had his son, he walked with God. Sometimes it takes children, get your eyes to wake up and say, I better walk with God because of child. Amen. Folks, I can keep on going on, but hopefully you understand the point. The point is this, walk with the Lord. Amen. You can with God's help. Amen. Just ask the Lord to help you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. And Lord, I pray that we would examine our walk. We allow you to help us to be faithful. Help us to live for you. Help us to just surrender, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just keep a hedge around us, keep us safe. And I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And if you tarry, Lord, help us to do our best to tell people and show people that there's a God of heaven that loves them, died for them, and wants to save them. And help us to do our part to reach them. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name.